Excuse me. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. So how many man-made things are in heaven? A few weeks ago, we considered Genesis 8. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And the illustration of that sad reality in the Tower of Babel. Even though just a few hundred years had passed since the time of the flood, yet most of the people had forgotten the glory of God's salvation and that He will not be mocked. And as their knowledge and faith in the true God decreased, their pride increased. And so they stormed the gates of heaven with their stairway to the skies, their threefold war cry, "Come, let us," declared their rebellion against God. Rather than depend upon God's promise to give them a future, to give them a name, they declared their independence and their reliance on themselves. Come, let us make a name for ourselves. And so Babel was actually demanding that three man-made things be in heaven: their technology, their tower, and their name. Is it any different today? Man still tries to rely on his own will as his God, to rely on our technology as our religious practice, to rely on making a name for myself as the boast and glory of my life. And all of these are the heaven on this earth that man seeks to create for himself. So what did the Lord say about Babel's demand that these three man-made things be in heaven? Listen to verse 6 following our text. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." What does that mean? Yes, God is saying that He made man with such great abilities that should man unite his will, his mind, his strength in one goal, he could do virtually anything on this earth. And so it is that when families, when a student body truly unites their will, their mind, their strength towards one goal, they can accomplish great things. And when this is done according to God's will, it's done with His blessing. But of course, since the fall of sin, man by nature is united only in one goal of casting off God's bonds to do what I want to do, making myself God. And so as long as man, in defiance of God's will, is finding some success in making a heaven on this earth, he's not interested in turning in repentant reliance on our Savior God. And so as at Babel, success is the very problem. Man relies on his success rather than God and continues to defy God. And success in sin only produces everlasting death. Notice that the very success of the Babel plan, rather than, as they apparently hoped, preventing God's judgment, such as in the flood, being able to reach them in their great tower, actually brought judgment. And notice again, even when man is having such success that he thinks it is reaching into heaven, it is actually so puny that the all-seeing God has to come down in order to see it. With one divine, come let us. One of his nostrils. The Lord confused their language and ruined their tower. The ruins of that tower are like a finger pointing heavenward, proclaiming there is no technology, no tower, no boast of man in heaven. In that sense, there is nothing man-made in heaven. The Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And yet, we turn on the television this day and every politician is trying to promise a heaven on this earth. And as at Babel, you and I are still tempted to make my will my God, to rely on religious technology to get what I want for myself, to boast in the name I've made for myself as my glory, and look upon all of this as my heaven on earth. Daily, our flesh struggles, doesn't it, to try to build those little skyscrapers in our backyard to take advantage and glory in me and what I've done. We look for success for my glory, whether it's in athletics or academics, whether I'm looking for popularity, pleasure, or possessions. We want these things, success so that we can ascend higher, and yet soon every one of us comes down to the grave. But what does our text say? In mercy, God came down. He came down to diffuse their explosive success in sin. But you remember another time when God came down to us. When our Savior was born in the manger at Bethlehem, in order to save you and me, he came down to receive the punishment that our sins deserved. You know, even our vile efforts to cast him off of his throne by making me my own God, he accepted. He accepted our rebellion against him as his own and was nailed to the cursed tree for it. The people of Babel demanded the three man-made things, their technology, tower, and name, be in heaven. But the Almighty, Ancient of Days, vetoed those demands. So how many man-made things are there in heaven? Zero? Actually, there is one, and only one. The scars in the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. That our sins cause those scars is, of course, nothing that we can boast about. But they are our glory. For his substitutionary death has washed you clean in his own holy precious blood. His substitutionary obedience has supplied the righteousness that will stand in heaven. With his blood and righteousness, he has built every step in that stairway that does reach to heaven. And so he has been given the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has removed the curse of Babel. He has given us the name that has ascended to heaven, his own name. Holy children of God. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you should be called the children of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 465, stanzas 1 and 4. 465, 1 and 4.